Hello everyone. We've got two readings today. The first one is from the Old Testament in Isaiah 42, and the second one's from Luke 4. So Isaiah 42 verses 1 to 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I'll put my spirit on him and he'll bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the street. A bruised reed he will not break and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he'll bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teachings the islands will put their hope. This is what the God, the Lord, says. The creator of heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth, all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand and I'll keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the peoples and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison and to release from the dungeons those who are. See, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I'll announce them to you. Our second passage, the sermon passage, is from Luke 4, from verse 31 to the end of the chapter, verse 44. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people, and they were amazed at his teachings because his words had authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon and impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly, "get out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before all of them and they came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are, with authority and power he..." Am I reading them right? Sorry, I was reading it this morning in a different version, so it just sounded different. Sorry about that. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words they are. With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and broke the fever and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all her various kinds of sickness, and laying his hand on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out and many people shouting, "You are the Son of God," but he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea.
Good morning, everyone. Great to see you all again. Paul Cooper's my name. Most people call me Coops. I'm the pastor here at Trinity Church in Campbelltown. And let me add my welcome to Jax. If you're new or you're visiting us this morning, it's great to see you here with us. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, let's pray as we take a look at this second half of chapter 4. Heavenly Father, we do praise you for your provision to us of all things. And Father, as you provide your words and your message to us this morning, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, when someone in authority wants something to do with you, you have business with them to do, don't you? You know, whether you want to have something to do with them or not, that's the way authority works. You've got business to do with them. Let me explain a little bit about what I mean when I say that. If you think about, say, a tax return, the government has the authority. It requires us to do a tax return. It doesn't matter if we want to do one, but their authority means that we've got business that we have to do with the Australian Tax Office. And so we have to deal with that. You can ignore it, but it doesn't make it go away. It just makes it unfinished business. So they have that authority, don't they? Or if you're at school, there's a bunch of us here that are still at school. If you're at school and the principal calls you to their office, well, they want something to do with you, don't they? You've got business to do with them. Might not be very profitable business if you've been making spitballs or wagging school or whatever it might be. You might not want to have any business with the principal, but that doesn't actually matter because their authority means that you do have business with them. Or perhaps if you've been driving in your car, if anyone's been pulled over by the police at any point, breath test or whatever it might be, I mean, they have authority, don't they? What you think about it, there's business and it has to be attended to. Okay? Authority works that way. When someone wants something to do with us in authority, it places a demand on us. And so we have business with them, whether we want that business or not. First, we see Jesus has some real authority, doesn't he? He has some serious authority. And the thing about Jesus is he wants something to do with each and every one of us. He wants something to do with each and every one of us. And that means we have business with him. Whether we like that idea, whether we want that or not, each and every one of us has business with Jesus. That demands something from us. And each one of us needs to work out what that is with him. So let's explore what that might mean for each of us personally. And we'll start right at the beginning of this account from verse 31. I'll just read those two verses from verse 31 again. He went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. Could you imagine what it would have been like on that day? All the people shuffling in along the dusty road, the fishermen, the craftsmen, the shopkeepers, the mothers and the fathers and the aunts and the uncles, the children, the teenagers, all the young people, all gathered in the synagogue, hearing the old man Jesus. The regions have been talking about him. His reputation spread. So they've been waiting. They're so eager to hear this man that they've heard so much about. And today, they'll hear him speak. And they're not disappointed. Their amazed had authority. And the word that's used there for amazed, it means practically overwhelmed. Practically overwhelmed. Like when he speaks, they feel it. When he speaks, they're moved by what he says. You know, on this day, they are blown away by the teaching of Jesus. And it's not because he's an expert public speaker. I looked up the Australian Institute of Business because they gave tips on what you should do if you're public speaking. And this is what they say. They say, take ownership of the room. Stand like a champion. Tailor your message to the audience. Get to the point. Replace with stronger filler words. Don't overcomplicate it. And tell a story. Right? Now, they're good tips, aren't they? They're good tips. A good speaker will do all of those things. I wasn't sure what they meant by stand like a champion, and I got thinking about how I stand, and I'm not sure what that's supposed to look like. But they are good tips. But notice, they're all about the speaker, aren't they? They're all about the body language. They're all about the way the speaker delivers the message. But this account, amazed because he owned the room, doesn't say he stood like a champion, that he delivered a concise story. It wasn't his delivery, it was his words. His words had real authority. Jesus came by using great language and expression and style. Now see, his words, they're fresh. They have this clear meaning. They're words that apply directly into the lives of the people that are there. Because Jesus doesn't just speak about the words of God. He speaks the words of God. Speaks them directly. Empowered by the Spirit, which is what we heard back in chapter 4, verse 14. And so the people there, they hear an authority in these words that they've never heard before. They hear God's words. And the demon who possessed that poor man, the demon knew the authority of Jesus' words, didn't he? Nothing else has freed this man from the demon's control, but Jesus' words do. Come out of him, Jesus says. And he does, just like that. But his words have complete control over the supernatural world. That's authority. And the people there, they realize it. They say in verse 36, if you look at that with me, verse 36, what words these are! With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits And they come out. This is who it is that recognizes the authority of Jesus and his words. Everyone. They all recognize the authority in his words, don't they? The demon does. The people in the synagogue do. They comment on it. They all recognize. But it doesn't seem to go much further than that. Not at this point anyway. The demon recognizes Jesus. It's compelled by the authority of his words to be forced out of the man. But he resists. Doesn't willingly submit to the authority of Jesus. Go away, he says. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. See, the demon doesn't want anything to do with Jesus. But Jesus wants something to do with it. And he has the authority to do it. Doesn't matter that the demon wants to be left alone to terrorize that man. He has business with Jesus, and resisting him doesn't work. Now the people who were there, all of those people gathered around, could you imagine? They must have just shaken their heads in wonder. It was a phenomenal scene in the world. But to see something supernatural come out of one of your colleagues or your neighbour, I mean, I would be overwhelmed to see that. And so the people who witness it, they also recognize the authority, his authority. And that's the only reaction that Luke records here for us of the people. So in that regard, are they all that much different from the demon? They recognize the authority, they're amazed by it, quite rightly, but they don't seem to respect it. At least not to the point of accepting it as an authority that also extends over them. At least not yet. Well, the account goes on, and Peter then goes into... Peter's there. But Jesus goes into Peter's house. And his mother-in-law is there. There's Peter's mother-in-law, ill with a fever. And clearly Peter has a good relationship with his mother-in-law because he's keen to see her get well. And for us, perhaps we read this account, we read fever, and we think, well, not such a big deal, just a high temperature. But in the ancient world, a fever may well have been a very big deal. Right? This is a high fever, may very well have ended in death. And so this is very serious, this illness. And again, Jesus demonstrates the authority of his words because he just speaks, rebukes the fever, and it leaves her, and she's brought back to full health. Just a few words. And so perhaps it's at this point, it spans the supernatural world and the natural world, doesn't it? There is no realm where he does not have authority through his word. His authority extends over all. And so it means that he has authority. And Peter's mother-in-law reacts differently to the people in the synagogue. She gets up immediately and she serves them. She places herself under the authority of Jesus. And news of this power and authority of Jesus is spreading, and the day ends, the sun sets, and all who were sick, not some, but all who were sick are brought to Jesus. Many have demons. He drives them out as he did the first. They recognize him and he silences them also with a word. And then he heals all night long. If you notice that there in verse 42, at daybreak, it says in verse 42, that's when he leaves from all the healing. So he's been in the synagogue by day, and then he's been awake healing all through the night. Now, many people here know that before I went into ministry full time, I was in engineering. And there was one particular project I remember being on, and I had to do a handful of night shifts because we were commissioning some new equipment. And I never stayed up a full day and a full night the way Jesus did. I would always manage to get some sleep, but by the end I was exhausted. And we went on holiday, my wife Bronwyn and I, straight after I finished this particular project, and I was so grumpy. Eventually we got to our hotel room, no food with us, and poor Bron, my wife, preferred to starve for 14 hours than wake up Mr. Grumpy to go and get dinner. It was far from my finest hour. Here, Jesus has been awake far longer than I ever was. And he's not snippy or short. He patiently continues to lay his hands on each and every one of the people there in front of him, healing all night long. Now that tells us something about his authority, doesn't it? It's powerful, but it's selfless. Yeah, he focuses on everyone else's needs. He's not self-interested. The authority that he has isn't used for personal gain. It's an authority that's only ever used for the benefit of everyone else. He cares and he loves deeply. That he had made well over that period. It must have been a wonderful thing to see the man next door, you know, who was lame all his life, walking. Or the lady down the street that only days ago had hours to live, brought back to good health. Or the child who in the crowd try to keep Jesus finds a secluded place, but the crowd track him down. And we can understand why they would, can't we? I mean, they live in a time very different to what we do. A time when sickness and death, it would have surrounded them. We don't often see a dead body, but for them, that would have been common. They lived with serious illness and death day by day. So of course, they would want this healer to stay with them. And while we might understand why they seek him out and try and hold him from leaving, what they show is not a respect and a submission to his authority. At best, it's a grateful appeal to stay and to keep helping them. And at worst, a selfish desire to keep him to themselves so they can remain physically healthy. It's treating him a bit like a good luck charm, really, in a way, or a best friend that you can turn to whenever they need something from him. But not a recognition of his loving authority over them or his call on their lives. But of course, Jesus knows that he has been sent to do something specific. And so he says there in verse 43, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. He must do that. And it's so much. See, the kingdom's here and it brings something greater, even greater than the physical healing of an entire town. Brings the offer of spiritual healing to the whole world. See, ultimately, Jesus would bring the kingdom into reality by defeating death and sin on his cross to offer a healing that we all need. Greater even than the healing that he did all through that night. Healing from deadly sin is what he brings to bring eternal health and life. Now, there's something about every kingdom, isn't there? Every kingdom has a king. And the kingdom of God, the king is Jesus. His authority arrives with the kingdom of God. And he does want something to do with each of us. That means we have business to do with Jesus. It's kingdom business. Each of us. It's loving because trusting his sacrifice brings us to God. And it comes with authority because he's king. He's Lord. If you're here this morning and you haven't claimed Jesus as your king just yet, I wonder what you think about these words that we've heard. See, these are Jesus's words. They're God's words. They have the same authority now as they did then. And this morning you've heard them. Means Jesus wants something to do with you. He offers his loving authority to you. So what will you do with that? What will you do with that? Because until you answer that question, you have unfinished business with Jesus. If Jesus is your saviour, then we're reminded this morning that he claims our devotion and our commitment. He has an authority over the natural and the supernatural. He has authority over us. And so he rightly calls us to live for him. That's the ongoing business we have with Jesus. Now, I know in Australia we tend to resist the idea of authority. The idea of sitting under authority for us can feel quite oppressive. But this is someone who loves to the point of his own anguish and his own death. He exercises his loving authority by putting our interests first. To our response, our king. And a king isn't a good luck charm or just a best friend to be pulled out of our pockets when we want him or turn to only when we need something. Now, someone who has a king lives a life in service to their king. Not just on a Sunday, but their whole life. Someone who has a king lives a life that sets out to be obedient to their king. Lives out the priorities of their king. And in these last few verses of chapter 4, we've seen the priorities of Jesus, haven't we, this morning? His care and compassion for people. And particularly the proclamation of the good news of the kingdom of God. This Friday, a group of us are heading into town. We're going to hear someone give us some tips on how to understand the Bible contains God's words. And we've been reminded this morning, haven't we, that they are powerful. They have authority. They proclaim the kingdom of God to anyone who hears them. And we want many people to hear them. Let's pray that we would live lives that recognise and accept the authority of our Saviour and our King. And that many people in our community would hear his words and realise, as we do, that Jesus loves them. And that he wants something very, very good to do with them. Let's pray those things now. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Jesus. For his authority on heaven and on earth and under the earth over all of your creation and over us. And Father, we thank you and ask that you would help us to live for your King, that we would honour him and glorify him in all that we do. And we pray that many would come to know the good news of your kingdom. And Father, that you would use us to do that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.